small amounts over a large amount of time, regular, don't worry about it. Learn what a cold storage wallet is, throw that money in there and just let it sit. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it fluctuates over time. There's, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, these VCs are throwing money into these projects, not because they want to lose money, because they believe that there's actual utility behind these things. So the whole entire space isn't, you know, just digital dogs and all these kind of things and illicit activities and stuff or crypto punks running around.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Michael Jabone is an economist at Cointelegraph Research. He's a PhD candidate, engineer, economist, and business strategist. He also provides strategic consulting to firms concentrating in the DeFi and blockchain space. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Pleasure's mine. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I started as an actor, trying to get my acting degree. I became a aerospace engineer, and then I got my degree in economics and a series of different jobs since then, reliability engineer, you know, almost every, you know, janitor to the president of every company, like I think. And now I am also an economist for Cointelegraph Research. And hopefully, you know, the sky's the limit for other projects where I'm a director of finance and also other kind of stuff. And this crypto space is crazy, ever changing, and we'll never know exactly where we end up.
No, we won't. And that's one of the things we're going to look for today is decide, find out how well your crystal ball is working. I'm kidding. This is lots of fun. We've had a lot of guests, or I should say a handful of guests, come on the show and really talk about crypto, where they think the blockchain is coming. I guess, break this down for us. What do you see as the state of the industry right now? And then where do you see it going?
So I'm lucky to be able to produce a venture capital report for Cointelegraph Research. And so I see the amount of investment that's happening in the space just every day. I'm in the weeds, in the details. Last year, there was $30.5 billion worth of investment. But in the last 3 months, it was $14.6 billion of investment into the crypto space. So it's an unbelievable amount of money and unbelievable amount of things that are happening in a whole bunch of different sectors, including the NFT sector, non-fungible tokens. And non-fungible tokens are on the blockchain, but they can't be broken up. They can't be segmented. So this fits right in with real estate. And there are some projects that are doing this kind of stuff, but there fits right in with real estate where your title is no longer going to be held on a piece of paper by the bank while you're paying off your mortgage, and then they send it to you on that final payment. They finally send it to you, and you get to try to put that on in your safe, and hopefully it doesn't burn down right when the house burns down. Now it's going to be on the blockchain, and it's going to revolutionize many, many, many things. As an example, title insurance. So title insurance is, as you know, is a huge amount of money per year.
Right.
You have to send, so somebody has to go down to the town hall, brick through the records, all that stuff. But now I can just send you an address and say, you know exactly who owned it, where it went, you know exactly the trail, and it's verifiable in seconds, immediately. You can do it in a matter of minutes. It doesn't take any time. And then therefore, title insurance, not only the search, but the insurance on it is tons of money, no longer necessarily needed because it's all on the blockchain. And then again, you don't have to worry about it burning down in your safe because it's on the blockchain. So all you need is that wallet, that address, and then there. If you're afraid of losing that, there's ways to secure that too. So there's all these solutions that are happening in the world, and it's really fascinating.
So one of the things that we're seeing in this space is that it's almost a dizzying pace, just because the applications are just innumerable, it seems. So at least for me, looking on the outside, is that a fair analysis?
It's fair for us experts too. I mean, I do this all day long, and I'm talking to somebody else. You know, I'll talk to somebody else in the space who's, head of a organization or something. And then I'll mention something and they're going, I didn't hear about that. And then they'll mention something, I didn't hear about that. And, you know, it's so unbelievable. And there are so many projects across so many different things that, even if you were to keep your head glued 24 hours a day, so fast and moving. And it's really interesting. And like you said, it can be applied to many other things. Your medical information eventually will be on a blockchain where there's something called the zero knowledge proof and all of these technological advances that allow you to only give out the information that you want. So, you know, if you apply for a job, you know, your resume would be on a blockchain and you can just say to an employer, hey, I only want you to know where I live and I only want you to know my social security number and I don't want you to know, you know, X, Y, and Z about me, and you can hold those keys private. There's an unbelievable amount of very interesting applications for this. Now, a lot of people like to ascribe things that blockchain will not do, right? It's not going to cure cancer. It's not going to do anything. But there are some great applications for this. And like I said, the title insurance, not only for your, you know, your house, your car will eventually also be a title that'll be on the thing. And then when it comes down to giving it to your relatives and people in your will, probate has way less to do, way less work to do because it's on the blockchain. There's right. There's nobody really to hunt down. It really is amazing. So what's really interesting is about a month ago, 2 months ago, this organization called Security Token Market, they produced a amazing, it blew my mind, all about security tokens. And security tokens are regulated and they go through an entire process with different regulators across the entire government agencies in America and across the world. So when people talk about, you know, crypto is illegal assets and all stuff, when we're talking about real estate, especially now, it's extremely regulated and they go through an extreme process because it is security.
Right.
So it's really interesting that out of all the security tokens that exist, 89% of them are real estate and 87% are retail and 2% are commercial. So only 2% of that is commercial and 87% of that is retail. And there are tons of examples of houses being put up for sale. I think the first one was in Detroit, was put on Ethereum, and it was an NFT, non-fungible token, and was sold and so forth as a house because, you know, the deed was there. It's very interesting. So this is already happening. It's very, I mean, we're in the early stages and we're still learning all about it, but Security Token Market has done an amazing job of producing some information for us and producing information. So anybody who wants to get involved with that, I recommend you reach out to them, check out some of our materials on Cointelegraph Research where they have reports with us. It's just really amazing stuff. If you're in the space, you got to be on top of it now because, you know, the thing is, like you said, there's an ever-changing environment. And I talk to people in all different types of industries. And a lot of them say stuff about like, I want to keep control of this or I want to do that. And I want to, and I'm like, you can do whatever you want. You can adopt this technology or not adopt it, but it's going to come and it's going to take, it's going to like a tidal wave. It's going to be over you. You're not going to do it. And your competitor is going to come out and he's going to do it. And all of a sudden, as an example, there's a very, this very famous story of this guy who wanted to buy like a bunch of Lamborghinis and Ferraris. And he wanted to buy like six really high-end cars. And it was a, you know, Saturday morning. Well, the bank doesn't exist on Saturday morning, right? The bank is closed. There's no wire transfers, especially for the kind of money we're talking about. So he calls up the dealership and says, are you on Coinbase? And they said, yeah. And he goes, all right, I'm sending over the ETH. Sends over the ETH, picks up delivery of the cars, right? With, you know, the temporary plates, and he has possession of the cars in the weekend. So instead of waiting on, so with your clients, instead of waiting on a Friday night at 8 o'clock, some guy goes, all right, I want to buy the house. I have to wait till Monday to have the, all this stuff can be avoided. You can, because crypto is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, can be traded all the time. You don't have to worry about saying these things, right? It's amazing. That's just purchasing. We're not even talking about the mortgage of things yet, because they're already, I'm sorry to, you know, keep going here, but this is just amazing stuff. There are companies like Ledin, L-E-D-N, BNB Capital, Hoseki, Milo Credit. You can call up and you can get a mortgage that's backed by your crypto. So if you have, you know, if you had 10 Bitcoin, right now you'd have like $400,000. If you wanted to take that $400,000 and put it up against collateral against the house, they will give you that mortgage. And then it's in a contract and boom, right? The same thing with Ledin, same thing, right? So you can use it for down payments on a house. You don't have 10 Bitcoin, you only have half a Bitcoin. Well, half a Bitcoin is $20,000. So if you have a starter home and you wanted to put 10% down with Bitcoin, you can do that. And you know, that way you don't have to sell your Bitcoin either, right? You can use it as a lending platform to continue. So you can still continue to bank Bitcoin and or other crypto, but you know, Bitcoin's the big one. And then you can use that as collateral. It really is amazing.
Again, going back to this, the number of applications are innumerable. What are things, talk maybe directly to, use me as an example, right? I'm an everyday, I'm a real estate investor. We're buying RV resorts. I'm raising money from you know, from outside investors. What are some things I should be doing right now to not be the one caught in that tidal wave as it, you know, you said, oh, next thing you know, it'll be over you?
Well, nothing I say is really financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor, right? So this is not financial advice. Do your own research, right? Famous lines from everybody. I always recommend to people that you want to look for the things that are the most pristine assets. And that's why real estate has always been an asset that people want to buy, because they're not making any more land, right? So that's why you want to buy some, because they're not going to make any more. Well, as an example, Bitcoin is one of those things they're not going to make anymore. Once they get 21 million, once the miners have done their job, it ends in 2140. So way after we are long gone, right? And maybe unless technology, unless crypto can solve that too, but we'll be here for a long time. So Bitcoin will be here for a long time. And I recommend at least putting some money into buying a little bit of that on a regular basis. Do not run in and you buy, you know, $35,000 and I almost bought a whole Bitcoin, look at me. And then tomorrow, you know, COVID-21 strikes or COVID-22 strikes and the price of Bitcoin jumps down and you go, oh, I wish I could have bought three. Instead, you should do something called dollar cost averaging in, and you should do this with any kind of small asset. Unfortunately, you can't do this with houses, right? You can't dollar cost average into houses, but you can dollar cost average into Bitcoin or other cryptos over small amounts over a large amount of time, regular, don't worry about it. Learn what a cold storage wallet is, throw that money in there and just let it sit. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it fluctuates over time. There's, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, these VCs are throwing money into these projects, not because they want to lose money, because they believe that there's actual utility behind these things. So the whole entire space isn't, you know, just digital dogs and all these kind of things and illicit activities and stuff and or crypto punks running around. It's actual use cases and utility, not just of the NFT space, but, you know, there's Ethereum is the king of DeFi still. We'll see if that continues in the future. We actually, Cointelegraph Research did a whole report on Ethereum's potential dethroners. So you might want to check that out too. But, you know, they're the blue chip cryptos are great to throw into. And I'm a guy who's not against gold. So I just don't think it's as good. But there actually is cryptos like PAXG, which is a certified and audited cryptocurrency, which is backed by gold. Once you get a certain amount of that, you can actually trade it in and get physical gold delivered to you. So there's tons and tons of these kind of things. And again, if you were afraid of fluctuations in price and put it against PAXG if you want to just let it sit there and just kind of ride out, and then use that as collateral against your house. So there's all of these types of functions that exist. And there's way more than that. But that's like the beginner's guide is get a, I like the Strike app because the fees are almost nothing. And I set up an hourly buy for myself. This is what I personally do. And I buy a certain amount every hour. It automatically ticks. And when it gets to a certain amount, I send it to my cold storage wallet because not your keys, not your crypto. And then it just sits there and I just let it accumulate. And I don't really look at the price of Bitcoin because I work in the industry.
Right.
So I have no fear that it's going to, I'm not like afraid it's going to be gone because I see it. This is unbelievable. You know, Andreessen Horowitz is a perfect example. There is A16Z is what they go by. And, you know, they just set up a fund for $2.2 billion for stuff, right? It's just, you know, to go into the crypto space. It's really amazing. And somebody left A16Z and created her own fund. That was $1.5 billion. So, you know what I mean? Like there's so much stuff going on to help Web3 or the next iteration of the World Wide Web. Really, we're in amazing times and it's really behooves everybody in the real estate space to learn about it, get somebody in your office that understands this. You know, I would recommend, you know, contacting us or contacting Security Token Market, you know, talk to these guys. They're extremely busy. I tried getting them to have like a webinar kind of thing. I'm like, oh, we're so busy right now. But, you know, bug these guys to get them some information, bug us, you know, we'll help you. If you can, research.cointelegraph.com or find us on Twitter, all that stuff. We're more than happy to help because we love this. We love adoption. Adoption means that this is going to get bigger and this is only going to help people. You know, this isn't for the big boys. This is going to help the everyday person. The everyday person who doesn't have to spend the extra $20,000 in closing, maybe reduce those closing costs down. That helps them out tremendously, right? The person who's got $1 billion, the closing costs are the write-off. The person who only has a $200,000 house and $18,000 of that is just shot because of the transaction costs that happened. We want to get that down. So we want to help out everybody. And that's what crypto does. Is it helps out the entire space.
Agreed. Couldn't agree with you more. Are there things that we should be doing as we raise capital that will allow, you know, because one of the challenges that we run into is the illiquidity of our investments. You put 50 grand with me, Michael, and the only option you have is to take that, and it gives you whatever that is. Maybe my shares are sold in this deal, $1,000. You have 50 shares in the LLC. The only option you have is to go sell all 50 shares to one other investor, and they take your place, and I trade a bunch of paperwork, both of you, and it's a total hassle.
That's a fantastic question, and that's the exact thought that has gone into some of these deals. So you might have like a three-family home. Three-family home takes in three rents. That house is broken into 1,000, let's say, separate NFTs. Those NFTs can be traded amongst all of these investors. And of course, these investors would have to go through a KYC or a Know Your Customer or AML process. So that way we know it's anti-money laundering process. So we know it's not just a random person. But once they jumped through those hoops and they got onto those lists and they got whitelisted, the illiquidity factor almost goes away. It becomes a liquid thing. I have 10 shares of the house. Every single month I get automatically in my wallet, I see 10 shares of those three rents. It's fantastic, right? It becomes immediate. If I need to sell five and I want to hold on to five of those shares of the house, I just go on. I go at 2 o'clock in the morning in my PJs and I put it on my phone and someone buys it and I no longer get those rewards to my wallet, but I also get the payment right to myself that minute automatically. The paperwork is the signature I have. The way the blockchain works is basically like an accounting system. There's a debit, there's a credit, but there's the signature. So it's a three ledger accounting system. The signature is the only thing that you have the control over. Mm. No one else can do that signature for you. And that's the power that gives it. That's amazing, right? The ledger is so immutable that I have to be the only person that can give it the authority. Right. I can make the mistake of putting my signatures in the way to get my signature. I can put it on the iPhone cloud. I know I could put it I can put it out in the world where Google, especially, where it can get taken and stolen. Everything I do is written down in a little book. You know, I know high tech we are, right? Everything I have is written down in a little book, or it's in some kind of metal, these metal cases, which I will not open because these are my seed phrases, right? Or they're in these little titanium, never going to burn down tabs that I may or may not have throughout, you know, that have all my seed phrases on them. So I know we're talking about high tech, but this is the technology that's going to save you. If I need to go back and get those keys, they're here, right? Not physically, they're there to get my keys back. This is that's very long, way past the time that we have here for the thing. I don't know if that answered the question. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, and again, there's so much here to understand, especially from this side of it, which is, you know, the question that my listeners will have is, how does this affect me? What should I be doing to prepare? And how do we get in front of this, especially as deal sponsors? Like, how do we get in front of this in such a way that either sets us up for success or, you know, or at least doesn't let us get completely crushed when, you know, whatever it is comes down the line. And we're like, hey, wait, so we're uploading to the blockchain and then there's this and that and the other. And suddenly we're still typing on typewriters while the rest of the world, you know, sending text messages.
So absolutely. And there's tons of ways that you can structure this, but to kind of break it out past what maybe firms and small places have been doing over this time. If you can take a house and I can sell 95 and I can break it up into 100 shares and I can keep 5 shares as the firm, you know, so someone comes in and goes, I really want to buy this house, but I can't. It's a $500,000 house, but I don't really have anything to put down. Listen, we'll own a certain percentage of it. We'll put down that. We'll keep that part of the house. You can keep 90% of it. We'll keep 10% of it. We'll keep it in these NFTs. And then once you buy that off, you can buy off the rest of that 10%. Now, the advantage is that, as you know, real estate has a tendency to increase over time. So by the time that person can buy off those 10 shares, it's probably appreciated in value, right? It gives me an opportunity to come in and go, all right, you know, we like your deal. It's not a loan. We own the house, and we give you right to purchase it first. You know, of course, you can sell those things on secondary markets too, as well, you know, that kind of thing. But I would recommend getting a hold of somebody who understands crypto, who understands this kind of stuff. And you're not going to give them, I'm okay with people receiving fees, but you're not trying to find somebody who's just going to sit in your office and be the crypto guy. And he's going to be on the phone because it's going to be a long time for this to get mass adoption. But you need to become aware of this stuff. So one thing that I really like is MicroStrategy is one of the public firms that first started buying Bitcoin, and they have the most amount on their balance sheet. It's in the billions and millions of dollars. Hope.com is a big website that'll kind of bring you through the basics of Bitcoin. And I think you really need to start learning about Bitcoin first as a basis to understand really the culture and how everything kind of works. Everything else is kind of built on that bedrock. And, you know, we have, like I said before, we have some great reports at research.cointelegraph.com that go into detail on these things. Like we have a DeFi one. DeFi is decentralized finance, which goes through the history of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Polkadot, Algorand, all of these up and coming blockchains. And Ethereum is the one chain that is used mostly. There are others in the real estate space. And like I said, you make an NFT, gets made into a security token, and there's ways of doing that. But I would get somebody in just to give you the basics, understand, start reading yourself. Unfortunately, there's no way to download this information to your brain with like a club or something. It takes hours and hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours. But there are ways to do it. I recommend us, and I recommend like Hope.com as a way to get introduced to it. But I would, you know, I would start slowly accumulating a little bit of crypto just to get comfortable owning it. Because for people that are, you know, I hate to date myself. I was born in 82. So like I have a period of time where I didn't have technology, and then I had technology. There was, you know, I was both. And the people came after me, totally into technology, they get it. They're just like, oh, yeah, I own an asset on a phone. People that are older than me are like, I want that deed in my hand, right? And I get that. So I get both sides. The only thing I can tell you is you got to get used to that. It's not tangible here, but it's tangible on the blockchain. Once you understand that, then it kind of helps you to realize, all right, there are so many financial functions that you can do with it that are outside of what you would normally do as a firm with real estate. It's just crazy.
Man, that's awesome. Michael, thank you for taking the time today to kind of give us the broad scale picture, man, of what's going on in the industry. I mean, where we are now, and then really just getting us ready for what may be coming down the line. I mean, that's a lot of moving parts there, but I think you really summed it up when you said, hey, this is something you're at the research and spend a lot of time doing and researching just to understand it. And maybe the action items today aren't necessarily like, hey, here's how we're going to implement this right away, but it's really just keeping our ear to the ground, I think, is what I heard more than anything, and paying attention to it. So I think, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and share with us today. Again, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, I know you mentioned this a few times already, but what is the best way to do that?
To get in touch with me, you can go on, you can email me at michael.tabone@cointelegraph.com. My last name, T-A-B-O-N-E, Michael Tabone, michael.tabone@cointelegraph.com. And, you know, find us on research.cointelegraph.com. That's our website. And, you know, feel free to contact me to have any questions, and I'll help point you in the right direction if I can.
Awesome. Michael, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.